This reminds me of my first experience in radio. It was back in the early 80s.
People with disability and mental health.
There's always controversy with us.
The mysteries of the mind and consciousness.
And we might get to the bottom of something, or we might start something new.
We're going to run the gamut and we're going to have a good time.
Waking Braves. No, not Waking Braves. We're Breaking Waves.
Breaking Waves?
Breaking Waves.
Breaking Waves.
Happy Monday. You're listening to Breaking Waves on Eastside 89.7. I'm your host, Alex Healy, and I have a special guest with me tonight. She is a psychology student, but more importantly, she's my cousin, Juliet Scott. Thank you for coming on.
Hello. Thank you for having me. I'm very excited.
I'm so excited to have you on with me tonight. We've never done a show together.
Nope.
And tonight's show is in your field. It's going to be pretty wholesome. You're studying psychology. So we're talking about social anxiety, mindful eating, and it's definitely subjects that you would be able to share some professional insight on.
Maybe not professional, but like entry level. Entry level insight.
Well, we are qualified to give a movie review of Inside Out 2.
So stick around and let's get this show started. We're going to throw it back with a 2008 classic. This is Closer by Neo on Eastside.
Turn the lights off in this place, and she shines just like a star. And I swear I know her face, I just don't know who you are. Turn the music up in here, I still hear her loud and clear, like she's right there in my ear, telling me that she wants to own me, to control me. Come closer, come closer, and I just can't pull myself away. Under a spell I can't break, I just can't stop, I just can't stop, I just can't stop, I just can't stop. And I just can't bring myself away, but I don't want to escape, I just can't stop, I just can't stop, I just can't stop, I just can't stop, I just can't stop.
I can feel her on my tongue, she's the sweetest taste of sin. The more I get, the more I want. She wants to own me. Come closer, she says, come closer. Hey, and I just can't pull myself away. Under a spell I can't break,
anxiety.
Let's talk about it. Let's get the conversation started.
Exactly.
So we want to quickly disclaim that we're not talking about the disorder per se. We're just speaking more freely about
the feeling.
The feeling. We all feel it. It fluctuates. Yeah.
The feeling in your stomach as you're like walking into a party or like
yucky.
Before an event.
The actual nausea.
Literally, if you for like large events, do you sometimes just struggle to sleep the night before?
Yeah,
like
or really big I'll deals? Just not go, which is problematic because avoiding it tends to make the anxiety worse.
Sometimes you just have to because
yeah.
Unless, I mean, therapy is the one thing I would say for anyone who constantly feels social anxious. What?
Socially, socially anxious? Who's he?
Socially anxious. I would say
beautiful
therapy.
Name.
Just talk through it. Talk through it. So avoiding it is not the biggest issue because I would much rather avoid an event than go there and then make a fool of myself.
That's true. But what? When you avoid situations, that is, it negatively reinforces the anxiety and you just will not go. And then you're avoiding it. That's... And then the anxiety gets worse because you're not, you know, exposure therapy.
That's
it's effective.
Fair. That's fair. Let's talk about the drinking aspect socially.
Right.
Drinking before to cope with the drinking in,
yeah.
Whatever.
A couple, you know, glasses of wine for liquid confidence. Yeah. Not a problem. And setting intentions before you are socializing. So
big time. Drinking intentions before a night out are mm-hmm. huge.
Drink water.
Yeah.
Don't have more than, I don't know,
yes,
one an
like,
hour.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the, my mum like, was like, they? 5 to 10 a night, don't go over that. No, that's
5 to 10 is a wide range. Yeah.
Exactly. Like you're gonna stick to only white wine, only beer, only cocktails. I don't recommend that. It's very expensive. Remember when you mix drinks, that's when you get pickled.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when
and hungover.
If you thought you had social anxiety before, you'll have even worse anxiety the next day because you're hungover and you're worried about stuff that you said.
Exactly. And intentions can even look like just writing. I say writing because I'm thinking about the context of journaling, but you know, be kind, ask questions, be curious. Like, you know, it just can help calm you down. If you go into a social setting and you know what you're intending to do when you're there, you will find it really helpful.
That is actually a good way to overcome it, just journaling beforehand.
Oh yeah.
Not just setting your drinking and your socializing intentions for
your
the
socializing
night.
Intentions and if you're, you know, if you check in with yourself and you're not feeling great, the intention can be, or it can look like, you know, be kind to yourself. That's a big one. And, you know, you don't have to speak. You can take the back seat.
Exactly.
You can just sort of like be there and, you know, be present. And that's okay too. You don't have to be like, be the performer.
Exactly. And you know what? The incredible power of privacy, actually keeping to yourself, not saying everything that comes to mind, like I do.
Same.
Yeah.
When you accidentally share all your secrets just to keep the conversation
going.
Yeah.
That is so true.
Letting pauses and silences happen. A good affirmation for that is, it is not my job to fill silences.
That is another really good point. Honestly, you can just leave.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'll, unless it's, you know, a best friend's party.
But, you know, a good friend will understand.
That's so true. And I think another great way of helping with social anxieties is actually going in with someone. It's so different when you have someone you can hold their hand or someone who knows how you're feeling.
A buffer. Yes, I was telling you recently. So I was really scared to go to this, you know, friend's birthday. And I was going to avoid it. I wasn't going to go. And then I thought, effort, I'm going. And I'm not going to drink. And I turned up, immediately went up to the first person I saw and was like, I am sober tonight and I am really, really scared and anxious and nervous. And they were like, oh my God, don't worry about it. And, you know, I think just saying it.
Yes.
A problem shared is a problem halved.
Yes.
This is the thing. I think it's really nice when I get overwhelmed to remind yourself how beautiful it is that you care so much. Like you do. At the crux of it is like you care so much. And that's really sweet.
I prep for any social event with music. Actually, I start my day with music, but before like a party or going out, I've got huge hype up. Like I'm talking like rave to actually like get me in the mood,
get the energy,
get me ready. 100%.
Totally.
You're like,
I'm the opposite.
What is that song that you listen to nonstop?
My God. Benny Bagels. So good.
Tell us about that.
A friend showed me this song and I was listening to it day in and day out because I genuinely felt like I was levitating when I was listening to it, like reaching enlightenment. And then I found out that she had worked with leading neuroscientists at Auckland University of Technology to create this song, Bagels, which uses musical elements that have been scientifically proven to relax the nervous system, modify brain activity, and ease feelings of anxiousness.
No way.
Legit, I was like,
no way.
Checks the far out.
When?
That was a good save.
When was it released? What year?
2023. And if you listen in the background, there are subtle lyrics. And she says, "You are not alone." Which,
you and how?
You are not alone. Very powerful. She also uses natural soundscape, which I think is cool because nature is
healing.
For real though.
This is Benny with Bagels on Eastside FM. You're listening to Alex and Jules. Months of living together, we ate in front of the TV. It's like, different because we went from living at home.
Right, yeah. Also, like the Matilda, their family, her family, you know, and they have the TV.
Oh my god, Matilda!
That was literally
We watched that like the other night. That's such a good movie.
But we weren't eating when we did it.
Please provide the definition for mindful eating.
Mm-hmm. ChatGPT defines mindful eating. It's a practice that involves paying full attention to the experience of eating. So you're focusing on the sensory qualities of the food, taste, smell, texture. And then you can recognize physical hunger and fullness cues. Essentially, it's just bringing presence into your eating experience.
And not ignoring those cues like I do, where I just like, this chocolate is just too good. Like, I got to have more. This Ben and Jerry's. Oh, I only recently discovered Ben and Jerry's. What? However, I know. Well, obviously, I've always known that they were there, but I never had any because I was like, this is like insanely expensive. I can just get like connoisseur for like so much
also
cheaper.
Expensive.
And nah, yeah. I went through like.
What flavor though?
Oh my God. It was this half and half. It was like half cookie dough, half uncooked. It was like the uncooked like batter.
Ooh.
And then half like some like chocolate brownie. It was incredible, yeah. But I haven't had it in weeks because I literally went through like two little tubs in like 1 week. And I was like, nope, this is enough.
enough.
Cannot make this a habit. Eating in front of a screen.
Yes.
That is big. So that's.
Yeah. I think it's definitely a massive part of our culture now.
It is.
People eat, like not being able to eat without a YouTube video or a movie or something playing. I was definitely mad on that for a while.
That's how I got through a whole thing of Ben and Jerry's because I was like,
because you're not
like,
present.
Yeah. I was like, what happened?
Exactly.
I did not just eat the whole thing, did I?
Well, you're like, oh my God, I just ate. I have no memory. I was not like really engaged in the activity of eating. And eating
so
is
hungry.
So fun. I love it so much. It cooking, the whole process, like you can really bring meaning and presence to it if you just slow down. And we share meals, you know.
Mm. We've been really, really good recently of making sure that we've actually moved our table where we eat onto like another part of the apartment so that we don't watch anything.
Yeah, it's away
from
screens.
Together. Exactly.
And then we can ask about each other's day and actually like connect instead of just watching.
And then it's also nice and it's exciting. I mean, after you finish eating, it's like, the exciting stage is to then go and watch.
Totally.
But then it's just so exciting when you have the food and you have the show, but it's like, now I can't keep watching the show without the food.
Mm-hmm.
You finish the food, think of it as like a kind of like the chore that's really yummy.
Because otherwise
I just keep eating.
Totally. And then we'll clean. We'll like be like, okay, now we're going to clean the kitchen really quickly and then we're going to reconvene at this time and we're going to sit down and we're going to watch. What have we been watching? Nobody wants this.
Yes.
So good.
It is such a good show. It just came out on Netflix like a month or whatever ago. Haven't finished it yet. So,
not quite yet because
we're not going to spoil it for anyone.
No, we won't.
But you were saying
how,
you'll get it if you watch it. What is the goal of mindful eating?
To develop a healthier relationship with food and to foster greater awareness and just like consciousness. Yeah. Be conscious.
You're very good with your cooking.
Be conscious.
Yeah, well, I love to cook. Also, you know what you're putting in your body if you're cooking.
You make like everything from scratch. For your dad's birthday, I was stunned by the cake that you made. You like squished all the almonds.
We made, brah.
True. I did. I was a part of that.
Yes. you aren't often, but
no, it's occasionally like, get out of the kitchen.
Yeah, I'm like, get out if you're doing it my way.
But that's also why like I don't cook. But also because I don't really like it, but also because grew up with an Italian mum who was always just, no, I'm cooking. Out of my kitchen.
True.
And then I move in with you.
And
then
I'm the exact same.
But I'm fine with that. Like, you know, ingredients. Here are the ingredients. Please cook me dinner. I'm kidding. I'm the male in our.
We're going to rewrite that.
Yeah, we're going to rewrite. We're going to rewrite that. Yeah.
You're right. Everyone should learn how to cook for themselves.
Yeah.
Like, just taking care of yourself.
Yeah, my husband's going to have to know how to.
Well, you know how to make
the chef.
Tuna bowl.
Yes.
Love the tuna bowl. Yeah. You know how to make your Greek salad.
Mm.
It's all about building a repertoire.
So good. We challenge everyone listening tonight to put down your screens and eat with your family, with yourself.
Just without a screen.
Exactly.
Just be.
Interact with the people around you.
Be one with the meal.
Exactly.
And also another fun challenge, have a dance party by yourself.
Mm.
Break a sweat, because that is so good for you as well, for your mental health.
I was wondering where you were last night, because I was like, let's watch our show. And then I was like, you were like the balcony, and you were like dancing on the balcony.
And my headphones
were so silent. I was like, yeah. It was so silent. I could hear the music you're listening
so
to
good.
Through headphones.
Because I don't
it's
like
good.
Running. You like to run. I cannot run. Like, I need, if I'm going to do vigorous, high intensity exercise, it has to be dancing. It's the only way.
It's like a class. I think it's like a thing at Fit Fitness First. I like looked at the classes and it was like dancing. And I was like, huh? And
then
I tried
it. Yeah.
And I did like in the living room like you did. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, oh my God, feels so good. Yeah,
feels
literally 3 minutes a day is like all you need of high intensity.
True.
Activity.
You can do like bursts of high intensity activity. Like if you're, you know, walking to the bus, if you just run for like 1 minute, I'm not even kidding, that is so good for you. This next song is what I was listening to when I was having my dance party last night. And it is Jamiroquai's You Give Me Something.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to shout out Gabby and Sam for putting me on Jamiroquai. I have been non-stop pumping him.
That's right, only the feel goods here on Eastside.
When I met you, you were so unique.
Breaking Waves on Eastside. Moving on to Inside Out 2 review.
Did you like Inside Out 2?
No, not really.
Breaks my heart.
I know, but it got so many positive reviews. Wait, what are Rotten Tomatoes?
90% on Rotten Tomatoes, 7.6 IMDb. Pretty good.
Okay, interesting. And I have the budget here, and it's insane. So it was $200 million was the budget.
Whoa.
Box office, guess how much they earned box office wise?
Well, I went three times, so.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, go. What's the box office?
Far out, I'm going to say $900 million.
$1.7 billion in box office.
Damn.
How insane is that?
I'm not surprised by that.
Yeah, what did you love about it so much? Because you raved about it.
I love emotions.
Yes.
But also, the animation was so beautiful. I thought it was gorgeous. I think it really, they looked like neurons and they looked like cells. I thought that was so amazing.
Like,
and the concepts.
Oh, the memories.
When they would put the memories and then it would, oh no, and the core beliefs that would contribute to the sense of self. I was like, oh my gosh. But you didn't like it.
No,
right?
I didn't. Riley just annoyed me.
Mm.
I think, and also when she was like mean to her mom, there's like, it's a really bittersweet transition from childhood to adolescence and the teen angst. Like I didn't go through that. I mean, according to my mother, because also I was, had to compete and like train all the
time. You had like bigger fish to fry.
Yeah.
I didn't. So I was mean to my mom. I was a very angsty teen. Probably why I loved it so much and related.
You could, yeah, that's fair. The anxiety, yeah, like I could relate to, but I think there's like the hockey camp and like going like the fencing camps and stuff, but I just didn't.
That makes sense. Like
I still couldn't relate to her.
Right, I hear you.
I just didn't, I just kind of like did what I was told, did the right thing. It's like nice.
But she...
I understand she's a kid. She's growing. She's developing. Like,
it's like, how do you handle these emotions?
I know. It's like there's a little bit of backstabbing, like mucking around in there. I was like...
But isn't that so a part of your adolescence, navigating tricky relationships, turning your back on friends, you know, because that's a part of it. Because you don't know how to handle them yet. That's kind of the whole point. And you got to have a bit of grace and compassion for them.
I did find it funny. And I had compassion, obviously, for them, but I loved...
Hey, guys, I had compassion for her.
Okay, you know the French... What's that? Ennui. The boredom, Riley's boredom emotion. That was funny.
Oh, I loved it. Oh, and the end, and then she's having that panic attack. Oh my gosh. That and the was tear, fair. The single tear, and Joy couldn't get through to her. I'm like, yes, that is what it feels like.
I could understand that.
And she just wanted what was best for her. This is like my heart and soul. She just wanted Riley to be good. That was her entire motivation, right? Joy lost sight of some things along the way.
We're talking about Joy, one of the emotions in Riley's anxiety. Brain.
Anxiety. Oh, yeah, that's right. Everyone's like, anxiety's the villain. No, she wanted the best for Riley as well. She just went about it in a bit of a roundabout way, and she added complexity to Riley's sense of self.
And that's what anxiety does in general.
I went 3 times to watch this, by the way. I stayed for the credits, and they had neuroscientists and psychologists who were working on it, obviously, because it's so emotionally intelligent. And if anyone is aware of Internal Family Systems by Dick Schwartz, it's a type of therapy, but it's really like based off of that. It's you have this higher sense of self, and then obviously these emotions and these core beliefs that contribute to that, and these parts of yourself that develop in childhood and adolescence to protect you. And they're all trying to protect her, and anxiety was trying to protect her. But, you know, they at the very end put her down in the chair and they give her a tea, because you got to know when to acknowledge those parts and go, you know what? I see you, you're valued, but I don't need you right now. This isn't a moment for anxiety.
That is really well said, and a great note to end on. Started with anxiety, finished with anxiety.
Full circle, baby.
That's right. You have been listening to Breaking Waves with Alex Healy.
And Jules.
And we're going to end with one of your favorite songs.
Yes.
This is Charmed by Stella and Rodino on Eastside. You've been listening to Breaking Waves. See you next week. Bye.
Of me like I think of you, night after night, nothing to do, no one to fight. Now you come far away, if you could, but you
listening to People Powered Radio, proudly supported by the Community Broadcasting Foundation. The Community Broadcasting Foundation resources community-owned and operated media stations just like this one that connect people and tell vital, local stories so that we all enjoy a more vibrant, inclusive Australian culture and healthy democracy. Find out more about our work at cbf.com.au.